SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
شما با پروگرام دری رادیوی SBS هستید. گزارشات عالی را در sbs.com.au/dari پیدا کنید.
معنی هویت بستگی به طرز دید انسان ها دارد و برای افراد مختلف معنای متفاوت را افاده می کند. وقتی در مورد روابط صحبت می کنیم، افراد متفاوت می توانند چیزهای زیادی در مورد خودشان، ارزش هایی که به آن قائل هستند و دنیای اطرافشان به مردم بیاموزند. در این گزارش روابط فرهنگی را بررسی می کنیم، تاریخچه این روابط را بیان می نماییم، نکات ضعف و قوت روابط فرهنگی را بازگو نموده و اینکه چگونه می توانیم این روابط را به نفع انسجام اجتماعی استرالیا استفاده نماییم واضح خواهیم نمود. هنگامی که انجی تسوی متولد چین با شوهر بنگلادشی خود ازدواج نمود، آنها 3 بار مراسم عروسی را برپا نمودند. انجی از منطقه سرد و یخ هاربین در چین است، اما شوهر او از هوای مرطوب و گرم موسمی بنگلادش. هر دویشان در ملبورن هنگام تحصیل عاشق یکدیگر شدند.
Every time someone, you know, about to get married or some friends about to get married, they were like, oh, I'm so nervous about my wedding. I'm so excited. And I'm just like, I had three. I got married 3 times. And there's always someone asking me, you got married 3 times? So you're married to 3 different people? I was like, no. One person, 3 times. And I'm tired of the wedding dress. I'm tired of our reception.
مراسم اول عروسیشان در ملبورن برگزار شد که تنها دوستان نزدیک و صمیمی خود را به آن دعوت نموده بودند.
I think I invited maybe 8 or 9 people. It was really, really tiny and my dress wasn't expensive. The total wedding cost was around less than $2,000, I think.
پس از آن که اقامت دائمی استرالیا را دریافت نمود، مراسم دوم عروسیش با حضور خانواده شوهرش در بنگلادش برگزار گردید و به اینجی گفته شده بود که این مراسم نیز مانند مراسم اول در ملبورن کوچک خواهد بود و افراد کمی به آن دعوت خواهند شد.
So we went to Bangladesh first. The first thing they told us was a small wedding, but then on the wedding day, I actually noticed more than 600 people were in there. And then my dress was really heavy. The long hanger, it was huge, really heavy, and the hairpiece, everything gold. It was good. I think was around 400 to 600 people. I can't remember in the wedding. And half of them, my husband told me he didn't even know who they were.
و مراسم سومی در چین برگزار شد. اما اینجی به برگزاری بار سوم مراسم چندان علاقه نداشت.
The hairdresser was doing my hairpiece and she was asking me, I'm so excited, you're getting married today. I was like, yeah. A third time. That was huge. So, yes, 3 weddings, 3 countries, crazy.
وای میگوید که دیگر این تجربه را تکرار نخواهد کرد. اما با گفته او، عروسی با شوهر بنگلادشیش شگفت‌انگیز و چشمگیر بود. اما چالش‌های را نیز با خود داشت. مانند ازدواج اینجی، یک سوم ازدواج‌های ثبت شده در استرالیا بین نژادهای مختلف اتفاق افتاده است. بعضی از کارشناسان مانند تیش پرنس از بنیاد اسکانلون یا اسکانلون فاوندیشن میگوید که ازدواج‌ها بین نژادهای مختلف نقش گسترده‌ای در انسجام اجتماعی استرالیا دارد.
I guess intercultural marriage in some ways is a reflection of acceptance. So when two people from different cultural groups or different racial groups come together and join in that kind of intimate partnership, it certainly suggests a level of acceptance and intimacy that's, you know, special and unique.
Love is love, honestly, and I think you'll really miss out if I'd actually close my eyes to the fact that, oh, he's of a different race. I would not be able to enjoy like 8 amazing years of, you know, being with my soulmate.
این صدای استیلا ادلایک بود که در سال 2015 از کینیا به پرت مسافرت نمود تا در رشته حسابداری تحصیل نماید. دو ماه پس از آمدن به استرالیا با کسی آشنا شد که بعداً شوهر وی گردید.
So we basically met at uni. He was the same uni as me at Curtin, and we became friends. We started by going for breakfast, meeting in uni corridors, and then one day he asked me out for dinner.
آشنایی آنها به دوستی و دوستیشان به زودی به عشق و محبت مبدل گردید. استیلا میگوید که درباره رابطه خود خوش بود، اما وقتی بعض مردم رابطه ایشان را زیر سوال می بردند متعجب می شد.
I once met a lady at the shopping mall who told me we're walking with my partner, and she looked at me and she's like, wow, you did well, congratulations. And I'm like, wait, excuse me? He's like, she explained to me, oh, at least you chose a white partner, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, my jaw dropped. I was so, so shocked. But I think to my partner, because he's never experienced anything like that, to him it was funny. So he was laughing about it, but later on I was like, no, that's, you know, I had to explain to him.
او میگوید که شوهرش حامی و همراز او است، اما با گفته استیلا در بعضی موارد شوهرش متوجه نمی شود که وای مورد تعصب نژادی قرار گرفته، خصوصا حملات خردریزه ای که بر وای وارد می شوند.
For people who are not affected by race, it's really hard for them to get it. So sometimes I really have to do a lot of education to my partner and say, you know, when you were queuing up at the supermarket, for instance, and someone looks back like, oh, how can I help? And then she's like, oh, are you together? Sort of, you know, shocked that you two are together. So such things, he didn't understand that how that could be, you know, that could be racist.
وای میگوید که بعض اوقات با تعصب انسان‌های نادان مواجه می‌شود، اما انسان‌های خوب نیز وجود دارند.
It's quite beautiful because at least I get to enjoy visiting two countries, you know, going to Kenya and going to Russia anytime, which is really, really nice. As well as sometimes we have his family over and they make all their different cuisines. Same thing when my family comes in, you know, it's different. And sometimes you meet people who give you such beautiful compliments as well. So I'll say for the most part of it, it's really, really good. I wouldn't say, we're quite fortunate to be in Australia. As much as some people can be ignorant, most of the times it's good.
ترش پرنتس از بنیاد اسکانلون میگوید این نوع ازدواج ها نشان دهنده شکستن موانع شخصی و فردی می باشد.
The fact that we're seeing more of these kind of relationships in Australia is perhaps an indication of that the integration and the intermixing of different people from different cultural and racial and ethnic backgrounds, which I think is positive for Australia and certainly speaks of the cohesion that we have or the cohesiveness that we have as a society.
Yeah. یک زمان ازدواج میان نژادهای مختلف از سوی حکومت ممنوع اعلان شده بود و مردم اجازه نداشتند که با نژاد متفاوت وارد معاشقه شوند. دکتر ریچل استیونز محقق پوهنتون استرالیان کاتولیک میگوید که تا اواسط قرن بیستم زنان بومی استرالیا برای ازدواج با مردان غیر بومی ضرورت به اجازه ایالتی که در آن زندگی میکردند را داشتند.
So we see especially indigenous women female sexuality being very restricted, being very much regulated by the state as a way to in a de facto sense restrict the amount of interracial marriage that had happened throughout the Australian colonies.
با گفته دکتر استونز این محدودیت به عروسی مردان چینایی با زنان انگلیسی نیز گسترش یافته بود.
Especially during the gold rushes with this evidence of around 2000 such marriages between white women and Chinese men in the southern colonies during the gold rush. But within a couple of decades, this number had reduced to just a couple of hundred such marriages because there was so much social pressure to restrict the marriage between Chinese men and white women. And if they did, you know, it was a credit to them because they risked, you know, being disinherited from their family or social ostracization. You know, there was a lot of risk involved in engaging in intercultural relationships.
و میگوید که این امر حتی با جداسازی تبعیضی سربازان آفریقایی الاصل آمریکایی هنگامی که در طول جنگ دوم جهانی به استرالیا رسیدند نیز گسترش یافت. تا سال 1962 اگر یک کاتولیک مذهب میخواست با شخصی که از مذهب پروتستان پیروی میکرد ازدواج کند مورد تکفیر قرار میگرفت.
It's all very well to get into a relationship and date someone who's from a different ethnic group or different religion, but it's when people get married and the question of children, you know, bringing children into the world and how they're going to be raised, this is where the fault lines often emerge and there can be some tension about what faith that child will be raised in. And so very simple things like that become quite problematic, you know. So it's often with children, when children are brought into the world, that's where the issues can appear.
پدر و مادر کارولین از نژادهای متفاوتی هستند. وی که از مادر مالیزیایی الاصل چینایی و پدر استرالیایی سفید پوست متولد شده است، می گوید که داشتن دو هویت فرهنگی با او فرصت داده تا بهترین های هر دو فرهنگ را تجربه نماید.
My father was in the military, so I grew up with a lot of mixed race friends, I guess. My mom had a lot of like Chinese friends, a lot of Asian friends in general. Their kids generally and were mixed race. So it was kind of a bit of a norm for me.
او اغلب احساس میکرد که باید بین این دو یکی را انتخاب کند. اما با بزرگ شدنش این وضعیت نیز تغییر کرد.
Growing up, going through school, I guess with there being a lot of, I guess like racism and, you know, being bullied because of what I bought to, like, you know, what I would bring for lunch. Then I kind of tried to hide that side of my identity.
کارولین میگوید با توجه به اینکه وی از نژاد مختلط بوده، پنهان کردن بخش‌های خاصی از میراث آسیاییش آسان‌تر بوده است.
The older that I got, the more I realized that I was missing out on one side of my identity, and I guess I kind of worked through a lot of internalized racism, and now, yeah, I guess it's really nice to find people who I can share my culture with who have a similar understanding.
Trish Prince از بنیاد اسکانلون میگوید که این یک تجربه رایج میان کودکان نژاد مختلط است. با گفته پرنتس، هویت فرهنگی یک موضوع پیچیده است و هر شخص تجربه متفاوتی از آن دارد.
I think that's a journey that many of the children from intercultural marriages or intercultural relationships, they take on. There's kind of an added complexity to their identity as they grow up. And in fact, that may even change as a person grows up and through different life phases as well. So I think it's interesting, and I think it shows a complexity that those of a particular race or ethnicity don't have to navigate. If you kind of know that you've been brought up by Chinese parents and your identity is Chinese, there's no complexity there. But if you've got a couple of cultures or a couple of religions, then, you know, you've got to kind of work through how you see yourself and how you self-identify.
کارولین میگوید که برآمدن از وضعیت سردرگم هویتی مسئله چالش برانگیزی بوده است.
The biggest struggle for me was trying to identify with one group or another, based on my own experiences and based on, I guess, people wanting me to identify with one group or people excluding me from one group. And it wasn't until, I think it was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago that I started looking into it more and realizing that there is this thing called mixed race identity crisis that I hadn't really heard of that term before. And I think knowing that, you know, there are other people who can relate. And
در حالی که روابط میان فرهنگ‌های مختلف به گونه فزاینده مروج شده، اما تجربه همه آنها مثبت نیست. هلن نگوین توسط مادر ویتنامیش ترغیب شده بود که خارج از نژاد خود با کسی رابطه ایجاد نکند و معاشقه ننماید و میگوید که در مکتب درس می‌خواند که اکثر شاگردانش سفید پوست بودند و هر کاری که در توانش بود انجام داد تا طرز فکری که در مورد او با وجود آمده بود را به چالش بکشد.
I felt a very strong pressure from everyone around me that I was expected to only date another Asian man or be friends with only Asian people and I guess represent the whole every stereotype of an Asian person.
هلن میگوید که میخواست به همصنفی‌های خود نشان بدهد که او متفاوت‌تر از چیزی است که آنها در مورد وی تصور می‌کنند.
And that manifested in a lot of different ways. It manifested in hiding my intelligence. Like I've always been a bit of an academic overachiever in high school and I was playing it down and acting dumb and trying to show that I was less smart than my non-Asian friends and trying to show that I had I was only around white people all the time. I would only date white boys. I tried to be fit and active and showed that I wasn't like a stereotypical awkward Asian girl. So yeah, so the rebellion manifested in a lot of different aspects and my dating choices was one part of that.
اما انتخاب‌های معاشقه وی همیشه مورد استقبال والدینش قرار نمی‌گرفت.
My mom always said the same thing. She had a very much like us against the world mentality and she'd always repeat like white people won't treat us the same. They'll never see us as equal. Don't care about us the way Asian people would or the Asian community would. She lived in her fear complex pretty deeply, and in the environment we had grown up in, my parents were pretty isolated, and that was the environment that they were familiar with, and they were trying to echo that onto me. And I know they meant well and wanted to protect me, but that only in turn deepened my internalized racism, and then like my angsty teenage need to rebel from that further and show them like no, like people around me do care about me, like I am like worthy of being cared about more than just people that only saw me as a race.
با گفته هلن برخی روابطش مورد تایید فامیلش قرار نمی گرفتند و این امر باعث می شد که وی احساس کند که مورد به احترامی فامیل قرار گرفته است.
I think there is a big expectation in society, at least an expectation that I felt as a young Asian woman to satisfy this submissive, docile stereotype, being very agreeable, quiet, willing to do everything, but on the other hand, also to be hypersexual beings. And yeah, it's a stereotype that I felt like hit me really hard when I was dating quite a lot of different white people. And yeah, so I've had like a few like experiences intimately where I felt like I was shoved into this box.
او میگوید که وی انتظار این گونه رفتار از جانب فامیل خود را نداشت. با گفته هلن هنگامی که وی مورد به احترامی قرار گرفته احساس میکرد که با نژاد پرستی دست و پنجه نرم میکند.
I'd always had this very toxic mentality that I really wanted a half white child. I always thought that they were so beautiful and that if I had mixed race kids, white Asian mixed race kids, that they would be more accepted in society, and they wouldn't have to face the same kind of marginalization or, yeah, that the cultural gender imbalances that I faced as a fully Asian woman.
او میگوید خیلی زود متوجه شد که برخی از این افکار ذاتاً مشکل ساز هستند و اکنون در سفر برای پذیرفتن خود است.
So it was a friend actually that brought this to my attention. She was like, there would still be half of you, and if you reject yourself, your kids are likely going to reject you too. Which made me think about how I would, what role I would play in raising a child, that if I was raising a child with that mentality, that, and all of these questions came up, and I was so afraid of like being, I guess, potentially hated by my child for still giving them this half of me, that I realized, yeah, how problematic my whole thinking was. And if I didn't accept myself, then there was no way like I can expect my child to either accept me or accept themselves. And yeah, it's been a long work in progress coming to terms with my ethnic identity and the parts of it I used to be so ashamed of and am now learning to love.
این گزارش توسط هانا کوهن از بخش خبری SBS تهیه شده بود.
بپسندید، شریک سازید و نظر دهید. SBS دری را در فیسبوک تعقیب کنید.